Been a fun morning on the Ascot front, and we'll get Sean's Royal Ascot reflections when we come back at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the Races with Steve Vick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Vick.
We're back, and just got a nice email from Larry Barkin, a listener, who was all aboard Vance Hansen's push of the Riddler for the $90 score in the Norfolk. So love hearing this, and people that, you know, move quick and punch the ticket up, and he hit the Omni and he hit the wind tote on Vance's tremendous push. I think we've got Sean Clancy back there.
I'm here. Good morning.
Sean, good morning. And we're just a few minutes away from the Gold Cup. And, of course, Thursday, as I said at the beginning of the show, the rest of the racing is sort of, I don't want to say humdrum, but they always make the Gold Cup special, and it's really the centerpiece in a lot of ways of the week. And here we've got Stradivarius that is 5-2, so not exactly, in fact, he's not even favored. Kyprios is even money. This is a Aidan O'Brien, Coolmore, Moyglare trainee, and there's plenty of interest in Princess Zoe, the German invader, Anthony Mullins, and the German bred, and the 7-year-old mare, 7-1. And I can't remember, Sean, about your Ascot attendance over the years. Yes?
It's like Eric, who are you, buddy? I haven't been there yet. Can you believe that?
Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
I've never gotten there. It's just a tough time to kind of get away in the middle of summer with everything going on here. So it's on the list. I just haven't gotten there. I was going to go last year, actually, and couldn't get there because of COVID restrictions and just hassle. And someday we'll get there.
This race, and I think I ask you the same question about Cheltenham too. 2.5 miles, and they gallop along for a good portion, and then they sprint home. But it's just something that I guess we're knocking on the door by us having a race like the Belmont Gold Cup the last few years at 2 miles, but. I mean, we're far removed from having, these kinds of marathon distances, although we get to have them, when it comes, when this distance, when it comes to the jumpers, is a pretty typical trip.
Yeah, we, in America, we just changed our program so much over the years. And you look back, the Jockey Club Gold Cup was 2 miles and those kind of races, and we've just shortened them up. And it's when you look at European form every day, you realize the variety of distances they have. I mean, they go from anywhere from 5 furlongs to 2 miles, 2.5 miles. They have the luxury of going, left-handed, right-handed, flat courses, hilly courses, sharp courses, winding courses. They have a little of everything. And these races, to me, are just the best because you see these horses like Stradivarius coming back year after year. It's just a credit to the sport, and here, unfortunately, we've just kind of gotten away from it. It's like it's all you can do to get a mile and eighth race to go, and they'll take it for a mile and a 16th and get 10, and a mile and eighth you'll get 6, and it's like an old art form that's being lost, which is sad because you really alienate a lot of horses out of our sport because. We have horses that want to get the trip and don't have opportunities, so they're not worth as much, and they're just not as productive as much, and owners, trainers don't want them because there's not those opportunities, sadly.
And you bring up an interesting aside to this, Sean, that we could take horses that seemingly just are too slow, quote unquote, at traditional. Traditional distances that are typically run, and create a whole new category. Mile and I guess what a mile and a half, mile and three quarters, mile and five eighths. We see these on the turf, but on synthetic and dirt, it actually could prolong careers.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think we've marginalized those type of horses. I know being in the jump game, you can take a horse that really wants, you can take a flat horse that wants a mile and a half plus, and he'll win a maiden race at a mile, mile and a 16th, and he'll probably win an A other than going a mile and a 16th, that kind of trip. But once you get past that, you get into the two other than level, and they really can't win those races, and there's not any other opportunity. I mean, you can drop them down and maybe you can, they might have a little bit of productive career in the claimers, but we take those horses and we've marginalized those because there's such a gap between, the A other than to two other than level, and then from a two other than level to a stake level. We have some mile and a half turf stakes, obviously, but to get to that level, it's a chasm between, that allowance division to the, graded stakes going long. And I just think it's sad. I think we've done it to ourselves a little bit, and I don't know how you get back out of it. It's tricky. I know, short races, frankly, you just don't get beat as far. So it's a lot more palatable to run 5 furlongs on the grass and get beat 5 lengths, even though you're 10th. And if you went a mile and a half, you'd get beat 25 lengths, and a lot of people just can't handle that. It's just visually it doesn't look appealing, and you're frustrated. And meanwhile, you'll get beat, going short, you'll get beat 5 lengths on the grass every time, and you just keep going back at it, but it doesn't seem as bad as getting beat a long way in a distance race. And the longevity, these horses can stay around for years because they're not under the pressure of going shorter. Yeah. and sprinting all the time.
And right, and there isn't that physical demand. Basically, they're as we're going to hear when we tune in here. And I'm just what happened here? There's somebody that was.
See Frankie Dettori walking. He's walking along the outside rail of Stradivarius. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but looks okay. Just strolling along the outside rail. I'm not sure exactly if that's intentional or something went wrong.
Well, and if he's dismounted for this long. Isn't this an issue? Now he's back aboard. This is one of those weird things, Sean, that only occasionally pops up in American racing when somebody gets off the horse and any period of time, and everybody else is mounted up, and it's an unfair advantage. I mean, everybody's supposed to be bearing their weight from the minute riders are called up. Right. Well, now this is very odd. Frankie back aboard on Stradivarius, of course, one of the great gallopers in recent issue. Thanks to Leslie Knopf, who just DM'd me that Nick Luck is explaining it was an issue with his girth. So they either adjusted the girth or had to do something. And he's standing way away from the... This is very strange. I think we lost Sean, maybe, Case. Did we lose Sean?
Oh, sorry, I put myself on mute. I was trying to listen to Nick Luck and Steve Bick at the same time and not have you hear me. I'm back from being on mute. Anyway, okay. Let's move on.
I guess
fourth Gold Cup. He's going for his fourth Gold Cup. Yates won four in a row. This won't be four in a row for Stradivarius. He missed one year, but let's hope he gets it done. He's just a star. I mean, a real legend in the sport. 8 years old, still going strong. $4.2 million, 20 for 33. I mean, what a gem.
We're just about set, and let me
and here's Kyprios.
Here's the favorite, actually, Kyprios, even money.
They're all set to go.
And here we go, the Gold Cup.
And they're off for the 2022 Gold Cup. And Stradivarius jumping out fairly handy on the inside from school two. Princess Zoe is handy. Looking across is Tashkar's rider, Ben Robinson. Earl of the Cotswolds on the outside. Gradually, perhaps getting into the lead now. Bubble Smart for France and the blue-red sleeves. Just to the outside, or just going on ahead of Stradivarius. Then Mojo Star Kyprios in the white sleeves out wide. And at the back, Alignac. And finally, Burning Victory as they race through the first quarter mile, and it's Earl of the Cotswolds and Liam Kinneary that now leads the way to Tash Khan in second. Bubble Smart and veteran Gerald Mosse on the inner. They're tracked then by Princess Zoe towards the outside of Stradivarius, followed then by Kyprios, the favourite, Mojo Star, well backed in the last few moments before the start, and then on the inside is Alignac, and finally Burning Victory. On their way towards the grandstand, with still over a circuit to go, and it's Earl of the Cotswolds that still leads the way at a sensible-looking pace. From Tash Khan in second, Bubble Smart is right there on the inside, getting cover in third place, followed by Princess Zoe, then Kyprios. Stradivarius has dropped back through the field, possibly intentionally by Frankie Dettori. He's now a good 7-8 lengths off the pace, just in front of Mojo Star. And then on the inside, Alignac, and lastly, Burning Victory. There'll be about a dozen lengths, first to last. They swing now, right-handed, away from the enclosures, and on their way towards the mile-and-a-half starting point. And it's Earl of the Cotswolds that continues to cut out the pace from Tash Khan in second. Third is the French raider, Bubble Smart, on the inside, followed by the Grand Grey Mare, Princess Zoe, in fourth. Kyprios is in fifth. Then Stradivarius, Mojo Star, Alignac, and lastly, Burning Victory.
on their way down the hill now towards Swinley Bottom, and very soon they'll pass the halfway stage in this Gold Cup, and it's Earl of Cotswolds from on the outside, Tash Khan, Bubbles Smart, Princess Zoe still close up with Kyprios on the inside, the black with the yellow cap, the familiar colours aboard Stradivarius, and then behind these are Lignac, Burning Victory and Mojo Star towards the outside of those. On they go towards the final 9 furlongs now. Earl of the Cotswolds still out in front, very few changes in the order. Tash Khan is shadowing the leader in second place, Bubbles Smart is third, Princess Zoe last year's runner-up is well poised, followed by Kyprios, and then Stradivarius bidding to emulate Yates by winning a fourth Gold Cup, back on the inside in sixth place at the moment at Swinley Bottom, followed by Mojo Star, and then Alignac and Burning Victory. Now they begin to climb as they make their way back towards the home straight, and it's Earl of the Cotswolds from Tash Khan in second place, closely followed by Bubbles Smart, Princess Zoe, Kyprios, the black with the white sleeves, Stradivarius on the inside, Frankie Dettori will just be looking for a clear run at some stage. Mojo Star closing up just to the outside. Then Alignac and Burning Victory. And now they're a little bit better bunch than they were as they head to the final 5 furlongs. Continuing up the hill, Earl of the Cotswolds still leading the way. Tash Khan, Bubbles Smart on the inside. Princess Zoe, Stradivarius breathing down their necks, has edged off the inside now. Mojo Star still just outside. Kyprios on the outside, just behind Princess Zoe as they now run into the home turn. Earl of the Cotswolds leading from Tash Khan, Bubbles Smart, Princess Zoe, and then on the inside behind these at Lignac, then Kyprios, possibly just holding Stradivarius in at the moment, Mojo Star behind these, and they're well bunched together, plenty of chances turning for home. Earl of the Cotswolds, Tash Khan down the outside, Princess Zoe with Kyprios, Bubbles Smart, far side, Burning Victory has cantered through from the rear of the field, and then behind them, Stradivarius now pulled to the outside, Kyprios takes over from Mojo Star, Burning Victory. Stradivarius begins to sail out wide, but still more to do. It's Mojo Star and Kyprios from Stradivarius. Stradivarius is inching closer, time running out. Kyprios in front, a half length, and it's Kyprios who wins the Gold Cup from Mojo Star. Burning Victory, far side of Stradivarius, followed home by Tash Khan, Bubbles Smart, Princess Zoe.
Well, hard to believe, Sean, that being bottled up that way would make a difference, but it did. Looking here, it's about a length and a quarter in the end. He gets beat.
Yeah, that was brutal. He just couldn't find the room when he needed. Had to go all the way to the outside. You know, he was still going out while the others were going forward. And really cost him. He just he ran his race. He tried hard like always, but just when the others were moving forward, he was still going. He was still going sideways, looking for an out. And God, it cost him. What a horse, though. I mean, he just showed up and tried yet again. Tough to see him lose like that.
Well, and especially because coming off the turn, you've got all that momentum, and instead of being able to utilize it, the Tory had to, you know, then basically check him up and stall him, and then jump to the far outside. And gosh, I mean, the lost ground in that maneuver is basically the difference here at the end.
Yeah, but the others had momentum when he was stalled at the crucial time. If an eighth of a mile earlier, if he was going out to find that spot, that was fine because the other horses weren't moving forward. But they were moving forward while he was moving out. And, just devastating. It's hard to know what he should have done. I mean, I guess he could have stayed on the rail and hoped that opened up. But that's a tough call. I mean, they closed it up late on the inside, too. So, I don't know. Boy, that was a tough way to get beat because he ran his race. I mean, he just is right there yet again. It'd be hard to take. Circumstances, you're making split-second decisions and it just didn't open up. And especially when you're on a horse like Stradivarius, the whole field's watching for you. They're not giving you an inch. And, their eyes are on you the whole time. And right when he needed that seam, he just didn't get it. Ah, that was tough.
Gold Cup in the books, and looking ahead, noon for the Britannia, and we should mention Mentioned Kev's plays. Kev's interested in three horses he's got listed, including the Queen's horse, the Godolphin-bred Invincible Spirit Colt, Saga. Saga, the 8. Kev is also interested in Atrium. That's the 20. And Bolt Hole, who is the 24. So before we get off the air, we'll glance at some of the prices. And in fact, speaking of Saga, there's also the horse we talked about with Vance Hansen earlier in the last group race of the day, that being the Hampton Court. The Queen has got Reach for the Moon in there. Also Gosden. This one is a homebred of her own, a See the Stars colt out of her Sadler's Wells mare, Golden Stream. And I'm also reminded by Leslie Knopf that she's got Tactical in the nightcap. So the Queen looking for that natural Queen Elizabeth pick three.
I love that. The late triple.
Yeah, the treble from Her Majesty. It'd be nice for her to win one. And I think she's also got tomorrow. She's got one. She's got a good one. She's got the heavy favorite, right, tomorrow? The 2-5 shot. Or is that here? No, that's here.
That's here, yeah.
That's here. That's in the Hampton Court.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 2-5, yeah. About the moment,
well,
yeah.
Then let's reach get her. Reach for the moon.
2-4. 2-5 into Tory.
I was not watching for the procession. She's not in attendance, right? She's not right.
This
is tough.
She hadn't been there all week, which is disappointing, I'm sure, for everybody.
Well, maybe. I mean, I would think she'd want to be there if she was saving it for just one day. I imagine for the Platinum Jubilee on Saturday would be the last chance. It's one of the real aspects of this event that has been for so long has been, you know, a highlight showing up in the.
Oh, that's great. Well, I just like the owner, Reach for the Moon, owner, the Queen.
I love that.
The Queen. I mean, that is just beautiful.
Well, I don't know how long ago, if you remember this, there was one of her horses was going to run, and did run at Saratoga, and I don't know if it was in the Sword Dancer or what it was, but there, and it had been a long time, apparently, since she had had a Saratoga starter. And whoever was riding came out, the jacket was literally falling apart, Sean. Do you remember this? It was like, it was all faded and it had it moth bitten.
That's great.
I remember that. And then I think subsequently they replaced, they sent a new jacket in. Did you see, speaking of the Queen and her great colors, you know, which is that purple, the purple jacket with the red sleeves and the gold braids, did you see that picture, Epsom Derby day?
Cool, huh?
Right?
Amazing.
Of all the jocks. It was fabulous.
Yeah, it was so cool to just see the breadth of her racing empire, to look at those jockeys when you see the flat riders to the jump riders to, you know, everybody from Steve Coffin to AP McCoy and, you know, all the jockeys that had ridden in her silks over the years. And that was just stunning. It was such a cool thing. I mean, whoever came up with that idea is just a brilliant plan. I mean, that was just really showed her, you know, her impact on horse racing. And it was an epic picture.
I can't remember if I retweeted it or if I just liked it, but I'm just finding it. I will put up, here's a copy of it from Sky Sports. It was very cool. So, well, we wish her the best. Sean, this is the last visit, before our mid-season break. So we got a couple of things to cover off, because when we talk to you next, we'll be on the doorstep of Saratoga. So first of all, some Belmont Day and Belmont weekend thoughts.
I mean, you know, so much made over the short fields, which is disappointing. I mean, sadly, that's kind of the state we're in. But, God, there was some unbelievable performances. Flight Line just was, that was awesome. I mean, overcome the trouble that he found to do it like that. That was just an unbelievable performance. I'm anxious to see where he goes, you know, what he does the rest of the summer. It'd be amazing to keep watching him. You know, Belmont was, you know, Todd Pletcher at his best, you know, got those two horses there on the day. You know, that was pretty formful, really. That Mo Donovan was very good in the Derby. Nest ran a big race. That was pretty understandable. Some of the other races, I mean, Costa Cree was cool. See him come back like that. I thought the tactics of the Ogden Fifths were just brilliant to sit way off of Latruska and close like that, Clairier and Malasad. I mean, those two riders just nailed it to ride a race like that. That pace, the clock in their head, to sit that far off that pace and still finish ahead apart. Just neither one of them got it wrong. I mean, they both got it right. I just thought that was brilliant. You know, the tactics of a five-horse field when you got to make those decisions. That's just artistry from Joel Rosario and John Velasquez, two of the greats. I thought that was awesome. Jack Christopher again was impressive. I mean, just drew off 1/10. Obviously, same thing. Be anxious to see what he does for the summer. But you know, good racing. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of flack over short fields, but the one thing you got to remember, I mean, being someone in the game that's owning horses, I mean, people criticize short fields. You get owning horses, believe me, you know how hard it is to get to that level. I mean, get to any level of, you know, when you get into the stakes categories, even the deep allowance rates, you get a 2-0 then, a 3-0 then, and then, you know, stakes and obviously grade ones on Belmont Stakes Day. It's hard to find horses like that. There's just not that many of them. And, you know, I think when you're buying horses and managing horses, you're trying to get to that level, but it's not easy. Everything goes, and they have to be so good, and then everything has to go so right. It's very, very challenging to get to that level.
The field size conversation. Have you thought about it or considered writing anything, Sean? And what? You know, what reasonable adjustments do you think are possible in the environment we've got right now to improving that landscape and minimizing the frustrations?
Well, it's hard. I mean, I think as a racing jurisdiction, it's hard. People talk about limiting stalls, and that's all well and good on paper, but you can't. It's hard to limit stalls. I mean, if you're running New York, sure, you can limit stalls at Belmont, but trainers can have horses that, I mean, Saratoga, for example. I mean, you have horses at the harness track, which they have no jurisdiction over. They can have horses on farms. They can have horses at Monmouth Park, anywhere else. So limiting stalls is tricky. It really comes down to the owners. I mean, it's in the owner's hands to spread the horses out and try to keep the sport viable and you know, have healthy competition. I mean, there's a lot of horses stuck in a few barns, and you know, just the development of those horses is very hard. And the one thing that I've always thought, and it's gotten more and more apparent, is the pressure that's on the little guy from management, from the racing office. And they're constantly pressuring the little guy to run their horses, fill their stalls, make sure they have enough runners. And I think that is something that they could back off pressuring the little guy, because the little guy's already under pressure. He's got a small stable trying to make it, trying to keep going, and I think they get a lot of pressure to keep their numbers up, and I don't think that's fair when they're competing, especially when they're competing against trainers with that many more horses. So that's one thing I always think. You say just try to back off pressuring the little guy. And I think that would help for sure. And then, you know, it's really up to the owners. It's in the owner's hands. The owners can spread those horses out. I mean, that's a tangible thing you can say, you know, what is one of the problems is, yeah, a lot of horses in a few barns. Beyond that, look, as I said before, it's very hard to get at the top level of anything. There's just not, it's the ability, the horse's ability to get to that level. And you got to remember, you want to, I mean, at Belmont Day, for example, I mean, if you have a horse, do you want to take a shot against Jack Christopher? Do you want to take a shot against Regal Glory and Speak of the Devil and the Just the Game, those type of horses? Do you want to take a shot against Clairiere, Malathot, Latruska? You want to take a shot against Flightline and Speaker's Corner, Happy Saver? I mean, those are tough races, and you see when, you know, people do take shots, and a lot of times it doesn't work. So, and in America, look, you got other options. You can go other places. So, again, when you get to that top level, the very top grade ones of Belmont Park on Belmont Stakes Day, unfortunately, there's not that many horses that actually do belong at that level. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, but all the way back to foal crop. I mean, look, that's a big issue we have. I mean, there's fewer horses being born, and so there's fewer horses to go around, fewer horses, you know, with chances. Just sheer mathematics, you got fewer chances to get to that level because of the, you know, because of the foal crop, because of all the other reasons.
At the same time, though, and I had a couple of things that you bring up in there, Sean, that have almost a wake attached to them. You talk about pressuring outfits to run and run in places to help fill out races and bulk up cards. All they're doing ultimately in some cases is hurting their own win percentage, which then makes it harder for them to compete in terms of attracting new owners. So it's a vicious cycle and ultimately damaging to people. I mean, you say to yourself, you justify it as a horseman saying, well, they're going to write a race for me when I need it. And they will. But if it's to the long-term detriment of your ability to, compete and attract owners, well, then that one race that you got them to write for you, if it costs you potentially an owner, that could put three horses in the barn, it's a negative. And so you've got to either, learn to say no or, I know plenty of horsemen that say, oh, I can't. He spiked a fever yesterday. He missed a couple of days of training. You make up excuses essentially to not run because you know you're putting yourself in a negative, detrimental position.
No, absolutely, and that's where the barns with the a lot of horses, and now it's different than back in the day. If everybody was running, if every trainer's got one A other than or two A other thans, and they're running against each other every month, that's one thing. But now, if you've got one A other than and you're trying to run them every month, you're running against horses that are peaked for that race from barns that are picking the best horse at that moment, and if giving them plenty of time and fresh, if you've got a choice of 10 A other than to run on a Thursday A other than as one trainer, and one trainer's got 10 choices and another trainer's got one, well, you know who's going to win the race. I mean, it's just the guy who's got, he's picking the best day other than he has of 10 compared to the guy who's only got one. And that's, it's just, I'm not begrudging the guys with lots of horses. They deserve it. They've gotten to the top.
No.
It's capitalistic society. I totally understand that. But when you see the complaints of short fields, that's really what it comes down to. It's, it is in the owner's hands to make decisions to spread the horses out, spread the wealth. The other comment I've made, and I've written about this too, if big owners would send horses to smaller trainers, it does create a groundswell, but it will show other people that that trainer is worthy. And somebody looks up and sees, I mean, if somebody looks up and sees Dave Duggan training a Godolphin horse, there will be other owners that go, wow, Dave Duggan's training for Godolphin. Or Klarovich, or Claiborne, or, you know, pick a big owner, Michael Dubb, or whoever. I mean, pick an owner. When people see that, then other people will go that direction too. And I think that's really important, because they are trendsetters, they're leaders, and when they start doing that, I think other people will follow. I think that's a very important part of it.
Well, Sean, before we go, because I got to get Rich Eng in. A couple of thoughts ahead of Saratoga, and a reminder for people that have not gotten their advertising placements yet for the Saratoga special. You're running out of racetrack, folks. The time is now.
Exactly. It's ticking fast, so get in now. We're in full sales mode, so we're selling as fast as we can. It's ticking down, and we're anxious to get back up there. This will be our 22nd year, I guess, or we started in 2001, so we're anxious to get back up there. It's obviously our pride and joy, our favorite place, and we're excited to be that it's right around the turn. I mean, it's right there, so can't wait to get there.
Sean Clancy, everybody, and Sean, thanks for a great first half of the year to you and to Tom and to Joe, I suppose. Let me think. I think Joe, does Joe close out? I forget who's lost track. I knew I hadn't talked to you in 4 weeks, so I think it's Law next week to close out the first half of the year.
Yeah, really. That's how I count my weeks. Like when I get the text from Steve Bick, I go, "Oh my God! I guess, you know, 3 weeks have gone by. I'm back in back in the lineup. I gotta find my bat. Oh man, where's my helmet? Where's my batting glove? Where's my bat? I gotta get up there. Let's go."
Exactly. Well, even though you're known as the rah-rah guy.
Yeah, it's me. I'm the rah-rah guy. Exactly.
Well, and we'll certainly have a nice preview of the jump season, of the jump summer for Colonial and for Saratoga with you and with Bill Gallo. We'll do a nice thing from Saratoga leading up to the kickoff of the summer season.
We're looking forward to it. There's some good racing at Colonial. There's some big purses down there for the jumpers, and all roads lead to Saratoga. So same thing. We're anxious to get up there and get going.
Sean Clancy, everybody, you follow Sean at By Sean Clancy, Joe Clancy 65, and Saratoga TL, Tom Law, and of course Saratoga Special. Itself, and if you're not going to get to Saratoga this summer, you can feel like you're at Saratoga, because right online, this is horseracing.com, all the Saratoga special features and the issues themselves are available for you. Even if you're not at Saratoga, you'll feel like you're sitting in the backyard, or you'll feel like you're sitting on the patio at the Rip Van Dam, even though you can't do that anymore. On the patio of the Rip. Now that and they're remodeling again. They're doing some more. There's some more building going on and stuff on the backside of the Rip. When I first was coming to Saratoga, stayed at the Rip Van Dam, going back to those halcyon days gone by. Rich Eng is joining us, and I first and foremost apologize that we missed Rich. Last week was a kind of a crazy, difficult week, but Rich, glad to get you and say good morning and check in with you.
No apologies needed, and I did want to say to you personally and Tina, I'm so sorry to hear about the news with your dad, and followed the tweets that you put out in Facebook, and all I can say is he must have been an incredible man to develop a son like yourself. You should be very proud.
I appreciate that, Rich. That's very kind. And one thing I've said repeatedly to people that have been so kind, I realize how fortunate my brother and I and you know, all of us around the family have been just to have him for as long as we did. And, you know, he only really only the last couple of months was in bad shape. And even then, I mean, I was with him. I was with him, you know, within days of, I mean, I was there the day before he passed. But still, I mean, we had gone to dinner together. He went out. He got up behind the walker, and he wanted to get out of the house. We did that 2 months ago. And so, anyway, he was going to be 93 next week. So I what can I say? And I know, you know, you understand this very well. I mean,
I lost my father a couple years ago in the pandemic. And he was 94, and the pandemic really spiraled his health downward. I'm so proud of my dad too. So I certainly understand. And you're a good man, Steve Bick, and I really appreciate you sharing those personal notes with us.
Thank you, Rich. A couple of things, some thoughts as we wrap up the Triple Crown. What was your final take on Belmont, and here we are basically at the halfway point for the three-year-old season?
Well, just a few points. Quite frankly, I'm disappointed that people are kind of dissing Rich Strike, even though he did not run a really good race in the Belmont Stakes. I still hope and pray that there are better days ahead for him and Eric Reed, Sonny Leone. So he doesn't fit in the category of a one-hit wonder. I'm rooting for this horse to do well. And something that I am a voter for the NTRA, the weekly poll for the three-year-olds and older horses. And quite frankly, my top three-year-old almost the entire winter and spring was Jack Christopher, even though he did not run in any of the three Triple Crown races. But I am of the belief that at the end of the season, he will be looked at as the best three-year-old in the country, you know, as the male side. So we'll see what happens. I guess he's going to run in the Haskell next, and that should be an interesting race around two turns. But he's got so much natural speed and so much natural ability that I think Chad Brown has been just bringing him back just beautifully. So he should be ready for a top effort in the Haskell. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, the Triple Crown, I know some people have talked about changing the timing between the races. I'm more like the Grand Torino Clint Eastwood character of Get Off My Lawn. I just want to see it stay the way it is. it's not supposed to be easy. And, you know, Bob Baffert got it done twice. And people can say what they want about Mr. Baffert, but he did it twice, and his horses were fantastic. And it's supposed to be a difficult accomplishment, not supposed to be easy.
Yeah, I get it, and I'm frankly, you know, when you have people like Randy Moss and Andy Beyer weighing in on the side of altering it, I'm surprised, to be honest, Rich, that guys that you would kind of think would be. I don't want to be a traditionalist. You don't necessarily even have to be a traditionalist per se. You just have to appreciate the history and the uniqueness of the event to want to see it maintained. I think there are some things that can be done by the parties involved. That and if it also has to involve the networks that are broadcasting, I mean, certainly it seems like NBC's motivation in advocating, it feels like they're miffed about what transpired with the Belmont Stakes, them losing it to Fox. But so I think there's some other things at play here, but I don't want to see it changed. I don't understand. I think there's ways that can be, we can improve the other parts that people are troubled by doing some other enhancements. So, anyway.
You know, another thing that got mentioned, too, is the fact that no horse ran in all three legs. And, you know, what can we do to make that better? And I know you and I, we've been in the sport long enough to remember the Visa Triple Crown, and there was a participation bonus, and that did not end well. I won't get into particulars at the end of it, but that did not end well, and you can't really force these horses to run in all three legs. The trainers and owners are supposed to do what's best for their animal, and, you know, they're the ones who are the caretakers, and, you know, money shouldn't be the driving force to run in all three legs. And, you know, some years you're going to get horses running in all three, and some years not. So it was just one of those series.
Exactly. Exactly right. Rich, I'm wondering, have you looked at Belmont today by chance? You got an opinion or two?
Yeah, I'll give out two horses real quick. I know people sometimes are not as interested in my jibber jabber as they are with any selections I might have as far as trying to make somebody money. And with the late post, these races obviously are still ahead of us. But we'll do two horses. We'll start with race number two. It's a one turn mile. Let's try the number five, Bold Victory, 6-1 in the morning line. This horse gets Kendra Carmouche, who I'm just a huge fan of. And I actually see him popping up at the parks on the off days from Naira. So he's more than willing to work hard. And he's got this horse for Linda Rice. But I like the five, Bold Victory, the five in the second race. And as far as the second pick, let's go to race number eight. I didn't have a chance to check. Are they still on the grass? I know there was some rain in New York.
They are on the grass, and I think we're going to be fine. They're holding the MTOs for now. My forecast says that there's a low percentage chance of rain, so I think we're okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can't stick my head out the window and see what's going on in Elmont.
No, but not like you used to.
Not like the old days. Race 8, Belmont, mile and 16th on the grass. I like the rail horse for Christophe Clement and Joe Rosario, the one, Diamond Hands. She'll be able to get a nice inside trip. And coming out of the stakes race, for the horse ran well behind Pisa Bianca, who is the Bobby Flay horse, and no shame running second to that one. So let's go with the one, Diamond Hands. The one in race 8 is my second choice, second pick of the day.
Well, and I earlier, before Tony came on with us, I started to walk through the late pick five, which I think has got potential to produce some prices in that race beyond Diamond Hands, who absolutely makes a ton of sense from inside for Clement and Rosario. You do have Spicer for Chad Brown, the 9, who's 5-1. Canisi, who's another Clement trainee, 7 horse, 3-1. And I thought that Linda's Gift from George Weaver, 10-1. So I've got, in no particular order, 1579 in that 8th race. Got about a minute. In fact, we could start to head out, Case. Couple of other ideas. The 6th race, State Bred Sprint, on the main track, and Kelly Breen shows up with Double Shot, 10-1, who I'm a little interested in. I think that the Horacio De Paz entry, you know, you got to at least respect the 1-1A. Looks like they're both running. Our man Mike and Amundsen, 9-2. The favorite is St. Selby, who I respect from Atrus. But I want to try to get the 2, Double Shot, involved in here at 10-1. And then in the nightcap, you do have two obvious horses, the 7 and the 9, Supply Chain from Chad and Jewel Stone from Mike Maker. But me and Sap, David Donk, whose name came up earlier with Sean Clancy, me and Sap, the 6 horse with Cardenas, is 15-1, and I'm using. So there's a couple of prices. There is time. It's a 3 o'clock post at Belmont, so I will write up the pick 5 and put it up at the website. Rich, thanks so much. We'll finish the first half of the year when we talk next week.
Sounds good, Steve. Good luck, everybody.
Rich Eng for Pro Pick, everybody, as the Santa Anita season winds down. Thanks to Rich and Sean Clancy, Tony Black, Alan Foreman, and Vance Hansen for that unbelievable push on the $90 winner, the Riddler. And I put up on Twitter, our friend Anthony sent me a thing on Facebook. He hit for $8,300, a $150 win place punch. $8,000 score. Weekend preview tomorrow, brought to you by TwinSpires. Thanks, everybody. Good luck today. I'll talk to you in the morning.
XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day.